My name is Mr. Beat, and this is the Storytime with Mr. Beat podcast. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe to me on iTunes or Stitcher. Oh, hi, nations. I'm Mr. Beat. That's really my name. Don't judge me. Anyway, what the heck is up with the United Nations? What nations are in the United Nations? And who came up with the idea for the organization in the first place? What do they actually do? Well, here is the story of the United Nations. Once upon a time, there was a horrible war called World War I. It was devastating. It was horrible. All of the world's superpowers were at it, and it was supposed to be the war to end all wars. After Germany was defeated, the side that won, known as the Allied Powers, got together and came up with an organization called the League of Nations. It was the first international organization to have a main goal of creating world peace. In order to achieve world peace, the League agreed to avoid war at all costs, create open and respectable relations between nations, establish international law, and strictly honor treaties. At its peak, 58 countries had joined the League of Nations. However, it ended up epically failing at preventing some of its own members from trying to take over the entire world. You know, countries like Germany, Italy, and Japan. When countries like Britain and France called them out on it, they got all offended, basically saying, well, you did it, so why can't we? Soon after, the three countries and several others left the League, and the League crumbled as it ultimately failed to prevent what became known as World War II. So much for world peace, and that, ladies and gentlemen, was the worst war in history. It's estimated that between 60 million and 70 million people died because of it. Basically, 12% of all human beings to ever die in a war died in that one. But Germany, Italy, and Japan, more commonly known as the Axis powers, would go down in World War II. And a big reason why is because a bunch of countries united to stop them, known as the Allies. Two of the Allies, the United States and the United Kingdom, led the way. In August 1941, the American President Franklin Roosevelt and the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill met up in Newfoundland to create the Atlantic Charter. It stated new idealistic goals for the world after the war was over, such as an end to countries conquering for new territory, self-determination, or the rights for countries to govern themselves, a reduction of trade restrictions, freedom of the oceans, and taking away weapons from aggressive nations. On New Year's Day, 1942, at the Arcadia Conference in Washington, D.C., 26 different countries from around the world agreed to sign the Declaration by United Nations. The document pledged that the 26 countries, led by the, quote, Big Four, the United States, United Kingdom, Soviet Union, and China, would join forces to defeat totalitarianism, specifically, quote, Hitlerism. The document stated that victory over the Axis powers was necessary to defend human rights everywhere, and it helped turn World War II into a war of ideals. By the end of the war, 21 other countries had agreed to the declaration. Even countries who were formerly friends of the Axis powers wished to sign the declaration, but were not allowed to. And while the violence raged on across Europe and the Pacific Ocean, heads of states, diplomats, generals, and government officials met several times with the goal of creating another international organization to keep the peace. At the Dumbarton Oaks Conference in 1944, leaders from the Big Four met again to lay out the plans for such an organization. In February of 1945, the Big Three, China was not represented this time, met to solidify plans on how the organization would vote. At the United Nations Conference on International Organization in San Francisco in April 1945, representatives from 50 countries came together to create the United Nations Charter, which officially created the United Nations. It was signed on June 26, 1945, and went into effect on October 24th. Unfortunately, Franklin Roosevelt never lived to see this happen. He had died in April, but the new president, Harry Truman, had pushed forward with making it happen, and Truman appointed Eleanor Roosevelt, Franklin's wife, as a delegate to the United Nations General Assembly, which I will explain more about in a moment. I will now read the entirety of the United Nations Charter. Just kidding. That would take a while. The charter created six organs or branches that all had different responsibilities. The General Assembly, see, I promised you I'd come back to it. Well, simply put, the General Assembly makes the big decisions called resolutions. They vote on stuff. They're the deciders. The Secretariat sets the agenda, basically carrying out what decisions to be voted on and then carrying out their implementation. It's led by the Secretary General, who is currently Antonio Guterres. The International Court of Justice settles legal disputes between countries. The Security Council is made up of the peacekeepers, but that's a bit misleading because they authorize military attacks and resolutions that can punish countries acting up. The Economic and Social Council, just like the name says, organizes all economic and social matters. And finally, the Trusteeship Council used to manage colonial possessions, but it hasn't been active since 1994 because, you know, colonialism is not cool anymore. Here is what the structure of the United Nations system looks like. Notice something here. There are five countries that permanently have the power of the veto. That essentially means that any of those five countries can single-handedly block a big decision in the United Nations Security Council. Good for them, not too good for all the other United Nations members. Because of this veto power, these five, China, France, the Soviet Union, now Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States, have quite a bit of power. Critics say this veto power has led to some inaction to war crimes across the world. It's worth noting that the United States wouldn't join the United Nations unless it was given veto power. The General Assembly and Security Council met for the first few times in London in January 1946. 52 countries showed up. The General Assembly decided to build a headquarters in New York City, which was completed in 1952. Later, UN headquarters were added in Geneva, Switzerland, Vienna, Austria, and Nairobi, Kenya. All these places are designated as international territory, where international law applies. During the Cold War, the coldness that made the United States and the Soviet Union all mad at and threatened by each other usually hurt the United Nations. In 1956, the UN created its first peacekeeping force to end the Suez Crisis. Yep, I have a video for that. Check it. In the 1960s, as colonialism rapidly declined, the United Nations dramatically grew. In 1960 alone, 17 new countries joined, all but one of them from Africa. Still, the UN had a hard time trying to make the peace. It usually stayed out of many conflicts. By the 1970s, it was spending much more energy and resources on social and economic development rather than peacekeeping. However, this changed once the Cold War ended. Between 1988 and 2000, the Security Council sent soldiers to El Salvador, Namibia, South Africa, Cambodia, Kuwait, Somalia, and Bosnia, to name a few. Still, they were unable to intervene in places like Rwanda, where up to 1 million people were killed due to the genocide against the Tutsi. In the 21st century, the UN has continued to struggle to prevent conflict around the world. In 2003, the United States tried to get a Security Council resolution to invade Iraq, didn't get it, and invaded Iraq anyway. In other conflicts, the UN has struggled to be effective at all. Instead, the organization has found more success with helping prevent the spread of epidemics, expanding women's rights, and fighting poverty. The joining of South Sudan to the United Nations in July 2011 increased the number of members to 193. That's almost every country on the planet. Countries like Palestine and Taiwan, who others say are not really legitimate countries, are not members. Instead, there is a small list of, quote, unrecognized states and, quote, partially recognized states. The General Assembly still meets every year from September to December in New York City. The United Nations continues to serve as the world's largest alliance, there to prevent World War III, protect human rights, end poverty, and basically make the planet better. Today, it's mostly funded by the United States, and the United States pretty much yields great power within the organization, but it really is incredible how 193 tremendously diverse countries can come together with common goals. Sure, there are critics who say the organization is undemocratic or is just part of the New World Order that wants to reduce the global population, but overall, it has been viewed as a force for good that doesn't appear to be going anywhere soon. The end.